grocery wars are heating up here on the First Coast. Good morning. We're live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. And just ahead, call it the Great Supermarket Showdown. Stores opening and closing, even swapping out, and it's sweeping the region. Tim Gibbons of the Jacksonville Business Journal will break it all down for us. And we want to know, where do you buy your groceries? Are you upset about your favorite store closing? Call us up right now. It's 549-2937. Then later in the hour, a look at what's happening all around town with our own Matt Pittman. But first this morning, yes, it's the Great Supermarket Showdown. A dizzying array of grocery stores all around town have been opening, closing, trading places. There's so much going on with the grocery scene, we can barely keep up with all of it. And all of these changes are benefiting some local business, too. We'll speak with Native Son owner Aaron Gottlieb in a few minutes. But first, we want to ask everybody, where do you buy your groceries? And are you upset that your favorite store might have closed in recent weeks? Give us a call as we speak with Tim Gibbons, editor of the Jacksonville Business Journal, about the grocery wars. Hey, Tim.
Good to be here.
And if you want to join in with us, the number to call the show right now is 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Already getting your tweets. Send them to @MelissaInJax and weigh in on Facebook. Okay, let's begin with the closings, which many people are upset about, including Lucky's in Neptune Beach closing today. Another popular chain, Earth Fair, also recently announced its closing.
Yep. Obviously, these are nationwide issues that are affecting the First Coast. Both Lucky's and Earth Fair have stores in the area. And, it's coincidental in a way that they are both shutting down at the same time, but they are both facing the same problem. They overextended as companies. They grew rapidly, and they just couldn't keep up with that. But, we look at the outpouring. We've covered this fairly extensively, and you talk about the tweets coming in already. People care a lot about their grocery stores.
They really do. And why do you think that is?
Everybody eats. And the idea that you find a spot that you like. I mean, you sit around, doing all the coverage. We sit around the newsroom and just talk about, where do you go shopping? And, I like the meat here and I like the produce here. And, so much of a grocery store is the prepackaged stuff, but so much of it is decor. You look at, Southeastern Grocers, the local firm, tried in some of their stores to go for this like open market sort of feel because they knew shoppers like that more than kind of the old style Winn-Dixie. It's decor, which is a weird thing to think about when you're shopping for food, but the look and feel matters.
It really matters. People will make a decision based on that. Yeah. And let us know where you buy your groceries. What's important to you in a grocery store? As we track lots of openings and closings, the scene is changing rapidly in town. It's 549-2937. Okay, so as the Lucky's closes in Neptune Beach, Publix Greenwise is reportedly going to take over that space. Whole Foods and Publix Greenwise are opening at the beaches. Winn-Dixie, its parent company, Southeastern Grocers, is going to take over the Gateway Plaza Publix, which had closed, leaving a food desert in that neighborhood. So those are some more changes.
Yes. And it's in some ways it has to be confusing for people to look and go, well, wait, if Winn-Dixie can work there, why couldn't Publix? Or why can you have Greenwise work when Lucky's didn't? And a lot of it comes down to the actual dollars and cents of operating the business. The Lucky's shut down because they were backed, they started in Colorado, were growing fairly substantially, and then Kroger came in. You're from the Midwest. Kroger is basically the Publix have up there.
That's right.
Kroger makes a big investment, lets Lucky expand, and the general sense is they expanded too quickly. Same with Earth Fair. There is the problem, and I know you're talking to Darren Gottlieb a little bit later, but the one of the lessons he talks about learning is that how easy it is to get overextended. You think about the grocery business, the margins are crap. I mean, they're so thin.
To use a technical term.
Right.
The profit margins aren't so great.
Right. And, they're labor intensive. You have a lot of people, half your stock can spoil. They're a hard, hard business. And if you grow too quickly, it's very, very easy to get overextended.
And so then why is it such a crowded space? Let's just go through all of the other stores. Aldi's, Fresh Market, Grassroots Natural Market. Yep. Full disclosure, they're a sponsor here at WJCT. Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, which we mentioned. Fresh Fields, which is a great low-cost store I like over on University Boulevard. You can get really good deals on produce and meat there. Sprouts, Trader Joe's. Let's not forget Amazon. Walmart and Target are also big players in the grocery space. There's just a dizzying array of options for consumers out there.
There is an area in Mandarin. This is not true anymore with Lucky's closing and Earth Fair closing. But there was a 5-mile stretch of San Jose Boulevard where you had 8 grocery stores.
Eight. So that is ground zero in the supermarket showdown, isn't it?
Mandarin over there, right? Now, why? And the answer is somewhat obvious. All the people. Think of how many people pass by that area, and you know we all got to eat. Now, that's kind of the promise of the grocery business: is we all have to eat. So of course people are going to go shopping. The problem is that's not. I mean, it is true that we all have to eat. I was about to say that's not true, and I realized somebody would tweet saying, "Wait, what?" But the idea that grocery shopping trends and habits have totally changed, getting stuff online, not doing those massive family shopping trips. You know, when I grew up, it was you go and you fill up a cart.
Once a week.
Right. Now people tend to do drop-ins.
That's right.
Drop-ins tend to be less profitable because you're not doing as much impulse purchases. You now have meal delivery kits, so you don't have
people
to buy
as fresh
things.
People are using delivery services like Shipt. They don't want to even go to the store. Right. They want to just have it delivered right to them.
And one of the promises of those is it cuts down on impulse purchases. But if you're the retailer, you love impulse purchases.
So much to talk about here as we talk about the grocery wars on the First Coast with Tim Gibbons of the Jacksonville Business Journal. And as some national chains like Earth Fare and Lucky's are leaving the picture, that is benefiting one much-loved local grocery, Native Son. Native Son is going to be opening a new location at the beaches next week. Aaron Gottlieb is the owner and CEO of Native Son, and he really is a pioneer in the healthy foods trend that first started appearing around this area, I'd say 20 to 25 years ago. Aaron Gottlieb is on the line now with more about the natural foods market on the First Coast. Hey, Aaron, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's so good.
How y'all doing today?
We're doing great. And I love Native Son. And it's so exciting to see that you're sticking it out and opening a new location at the beaches next week, right?
Next week, we are reopening our beaches location. Yes. I don't know if I would call it sticking it out. We are, after hearing y'all discuss the grocery wars, we were the first casualty in the Northeast Florida area. We saw this coming. We were predicting it, and we were just trying to weather the storm as an independent local grocer. And we have been afforded the opportunity between the community support and between family investors who really understood that we weren't just a grocery store. We were a community grocer that was trying to help improve people's lives. So I can't even tell you how ecstatic me and the rest of the Native Son team is to be coming back.
And all of your customers are, too. Can you tell us a little bit about what we can expect when we visit the new Native Son and some of the changes that you've made?
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you for asking. So we really looked at what our customers loved within our store and had to make decisions about what was sustainable and what isn't. As you've heard all the different descriptions of why grocery has changed between being able to have delivery service, between meal pickup, people building restaurants in it, those changes are all fun. I love change and the challenge of change, but the problem is customers have a history of expectations in a grocery store. So they want the past and they want the future, and that's a lot to deliver. And so with all these new tools that were out there, we were able to review the store and decide that our old deli, while it was a wonderful department and it was growing, it wasn't sustainable in the format that it was. So we're reintroducing that as a fast casual restaurant that was inspired by a restaurant I used to go to out in San Francisco when I was out there on business. So, there will be no, that the old deli area will be converted over to the fast casual with additional seating. And then we took another area of our store and we dedicated it to grab-and-go, fast, in-and-out meals that people used to buy from our deli that you went up to the case to order. So we looked at ordering efficiencies, speed, and then also having a restaurant experience where you can sit down and have a nice meal that is from scratch and made from organic ingredients, the heart of what Native Sun was about.
That sounds great. You know, when you first opened Native Sun in Jacksonville in 1997, you had the whole space to yourself, natural foods. Then all of these new players showed up, like Whole Foods, Fresh Market, Trader Joe's, Earth Fair. But now Earth Fair and Lucky's are going away. What is your strategy to stay competitive now that so many more consumers are demanding these types of options when they go to the grocery store?
You know, I started this discussion probably about 7 years before this got started. Me and some of industry veterans were having a discussion, and we saw the Earth Fairs and the Lucky's of the world entering the marketplace, and we knew that we were going to end up having years that the conventional grocers and independent grocers were going to have their basket share robbed, in addition to all the changes that are going on in the industry in terms of how people like to have their food. We always saw a place for traditional grocers like Publix, which we think are, you know, is a fine grocer, and independents can coexist. The middle players were definitely the problem. So as we approach in terms of the sustainability, so when I look at today's market, we are not going after to be a chain. We are reintroducing our Beaches location to share the mom and pop community grocer, which is a meeting place. It's a place where when you're not well, you can come get information to learn about what might benefit you, not just go to the place for the cheapest commodity item. This is a place that is supposed to be education and about wellness at the same time. And so we're really going back to our roots. The original Native Sun on San Jose Boulevard grew beyond its walls because there wasn't other players in the marketplace and people wanted more of that. What we became is a grocery competitor. We are not entering this market trying to compete with Publix and Whole Foods. Instead, we're trying to be a meeting place and a community place, and we know our goods are going to be competitive. The other thing is the value proposition of what we bring. You know, all the years that we were in Jacksonville, there was no other store that carried only organic produce. And to people who value chemical-free produce, they understood it and have cried for us to bring it back, and so we're thrilled to do it. One of the changes that we have to make is household items such as canned beans, frozen fruits, things of that nature. Everybody's moved to house brands, and there's no reason to avoid that. So we've partnered with a brand named Cadia, and we know that all of the center aisle items that are in the competitive market that aren't unique to Native Sun, but they're just commodity items, our pricing will be competitive with any of the other stores that are selling like products, organic versions of those products. We'll be in line with all of it because we worked hard to ensure that our pricing was sustainable for our customers and affordable. So we're not only a place of service, we're also focused on making sure that what you look for us to be competitive, we are going to be highly competitive.
Excellent to hear. And for everyone listening or just tuning in, we're speaking with Aaron Gottlieb, owner of Native Sun Natural Foods Market, the OG of natural foods in Jacksonville. They are reopening next Wednesday in Jacksonville Beach at 1585 3rd Street North, right on the main drag, right across the street as I'm looking at the Google map from Metro Diner. So that's where they'll be. And for everyone who wants to support a locally owned business, this is the place to go because, as we've been discussing, there are lots of other players that are coming and going in this city in the natural foods market, more going lately. But the only locally owned brand is Native Sun. And Tim Gibbons of the Jacksonville Business Journal is here with me as well as we talk about this. And here's our question to callers. Where do you buy your groceries? What's important to you? And what do you think about all of the changes in this sector here in town lately? It's 549-2937. Brad is at the Beaches. Hi, Brad. Good morning.
Hey, thank you so much for doing this topic. And I feel like I'm kind of singing to the choir coming behind Aaron there. I think, you know, if we look at, you're calling them the natural foods market, but I feel like what really hurt Native Sun was kind of the advertising. You know, let's take Publix Greenwise. Who regulates that? Is it green or wise? You know, it's not an organic product. It's not a non-GMO product. And I think where Native Sun, where they got in trouble, or not where they got in trouble, where they were hurt the most, is people were advertising that they were a health food store, But then when you go in there, it was just necessarily branding and packaging. And again, let's take Greenwise. You know, they're talking about Publix Greenwise store taking over that Lucky's Market in Neptune Beach. How do we know what standards Publix has? It's easy to understand organic. It's easy to understand non-GMO. It's harder to understand farm fresh, locally, you know, again, locally sustained. Where's local? The Panhandle, Georgia, you know?
300 miles.
Native son.
Yeah, local within 300 miles.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Brad, yeah. Thank you for that. And Brad, let me ask you, where do you do most of your grocery shopping?
Well, Publix, organic only.
Got it.
You know what I mean? Like I look for non-GMO, the butterfly, or I look for strictly organic. If you can find local, there's clearly not a local supply to help Jacksonville.
Will you go to Native Son since you're at the beaches and they're opening next Wednesday?
The only reason we stopped going is they closed.
Gotcha. Okay, Brad. Thank you, Brad. So Aaron Gottlieb on the line with us, CEO of Native Son. That lots of consumers out there want organic produce and meats, and they will go out of their way to get it.
Yes, we are going to work hard to make sure going out of their way is something that we appreciate, and we know that we owe every person who chooses us to trust us with their grocery basket, and also with their next meal. One of the things that you mentioned earlier was the changes. The biggest change is people choose what they're going to shop for an hour before they shop it on average. There isn't the big grocery basket anymore. So we just have to make sure that our customers have such an outstanding experience, and that's what I'm excited about. With multiple locations, you train a bunch of people to give a pretty good experience. You can never get to amazing. And we're really focused on one location to where when you come out, it's memorable. Not only do you remember us when you're feeding yourself or your family the next meal, but also the experience you had with our team when you're in the store. So his statements just warmed my heart about the fact that he understands what we're about, and also this is that experience at our store. But we'll do it even better this time around.
I mean, that is the caller's point, is kind of the secret of success of having that differentiating sort of thing. And obviously the big chains try to do that, but it is interesting, you know, in having Aaron on the phone here, the when people talk about Native Son, they've been around for almost three decades, and it does have that place in the fabric of Jacksonville's particularly healthy focused community. That it has a place in people's hearts even more so than a Lucky's or another brand that, you know, people care much about.
Lots of tweets. Lane says, I go to Publix. I have missed Native Son. Here's one from Goliath. I shop at Costco, Walmart, and Aldi, all mainly because of price. Lots of customers find the lowest cost chain they can find.
So the typical wisdom is that you basically have the cost leaders, the Walmarts and the Aldis. And, you know, Aldis, for example, is considered a specialty grocery store, but their specialty is house brands and lower price point. And then you have the people who are going more for the experience. And that's your Publix and your Native Sons and your places that offer more, even though they might still have low prices. That's not what's differentiating them.
Bill tweets the show, I had just started picking up groceries at Lucky's Market when they closed.
Oh, it's his fault.
Another one that left our area recently was a specialty store, Penzi Spices. That will be missed. Here's a tweet. If Costco was more convenient to get to, I'd probably shop there more. Convenience is a factor for a lot of folks. Here is one from Frank. I go to Publix, Winn-Dixie, and occasionally Mi Pueblo Grocery. Let's not overlook ethnic, you know, specialty stores, whether they're catering to Latinx or Asian or Indian. Those are a player. Those are players too.
An amazing Indian grocery store over on Bay Meadows.
Yeah. Here's one from a tweet from Terry. A grocery store is important to society. It's the fabric that brings us together. I'll miss Lucky's. I loved the experience. Okay, let's go to Tim at the beaches. Hi, Tim. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Go ahead.
Hi. I have never actually listened to the radio station before, but I noticed this morning when I switched it over, you guys were talking about organics and such. And I wanted to bring up a huge point that I don't think that consumers are really paying attention to, and I don't think that the individuals who are bringing organic materials out to the supermarkets are actually making sure that they are doing this one exact thing. And that's to be organic. You don't have to have 100% organicness out of your materials. out of your foods or anything. It doesn't have to be made 100% organic. You have to be able to meet a criteria, which is like 60% organic, for you to be able to put a label on it saying that it's organic. Consumers don't actually understand that.
Yeah.
They don't know that you might not use a pesticide on your materials, which allows you to be able to say that you're 60% organic.
Thanks for that, Tim. Aaron Gottlieb of Native Sun, let's explain what the labels really mean and what people are getting when they look for organic food.
I love that he was aware about that there can be mislabeling. There is a lot of greenwashing that comes along with it. The USDA, who monitors organic, originally it was through the marketing division, but it's really about soil conservation is the heart of it all. And if we keep pesticides and chemicals out of the soil, they'll stay out of your bodies as well. What he's referring to, just a slight correction, I totally love where he was coming from, but it 70% is the mark where you can put on a label. If it's 70% organic ingredients, it can say made with organic ingredients. It can't say that the product is organic. But it's very confusing because you see it in big print on the front of the label, made with organic ingredients, and you assume that it's healthier, and what you don't, you know, I think the first time I saw it, I turned the label over and there was synthetic preservatives, food colorings that caused allergen triggers in a lot of children, and I was rather shocked that it said made with organic ingredients on the front.
Hmm.
And so making sure that you understand that, you know, the butterfly with non-GMO project means that it wasn't made with genetically engineered ingredients, but what it doesn't include is that it could have been made with pesticides that were synthetic and synthetic hormones. So there's a lot of other things that you don't get caught under the butterfly to mean that you're buying quality food. So I believe it's important to buy non-GMO project verified, but Native Sun, the heart and core of what we are about is giving people chemical-free food, which is under the 100% organic label. When you shop our shelves, you'll see all the different types of labels on there because there is not enough organic foods these days to have everything at 100% organic, whether it's about price point, which a lot of customers shop on, or whether it's about raw materials because there isn't enough being grown.
Okay.
So
and let me just, Aaron, let me
yeah.
just jump in. Lots of emails and calls waiting.
Yes, Melissa.
Let me just
go
get a few more on. Here's one from a listener in Riverside. Publix has a monopoly. We need more Trader Joe's stores, especially in the Riverside or Brooklyn area. And there's no option in and around downtown where hundreds of new housing units are being built. Here's an email from Gloria. What can be done to get more grocery stores with healthy, organic, and natural food options near Chaffee Road and I-10 West? The only store we have is Winn-Dixie. We would love to have more options. Here is an email from Andy. I have been shopping at Winn-Dixie since the Publix boycott initiated when they supported Adam Putnam, the NRA candidate for governor in 2018. The owner of Publix also contributed to a group trying to defeat medical marijuana. So some people make political choices when they shop. That's interesting as well. And then on Facebook, Paula writes, Publix is my everyday store, but I am disappointed by the loss of any others. So what's interesting, Tim, is some areas of town have a wealth of options. Others are in really food deserts where they don't have any decent close by grocery to get fresh produce, especially high quality meats. The town of Baldwin, way out west, has a city-run grocery store to try to deal with this.
That is one of the great challenges of getting food to people who need it. The idea that it's not just finding their favorite grocery store, it's simply finding a grocery store that's within close enough, particularly mm-hmm. if you don't have reliable transportation to be able to get to it. So, you know, that's a challenge. Particularly to get at the right price point.
Charity has been holding Charity on the west side. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I live on the west side of town out here in Argyle Forest. I have a Publix near me, a Winn-Dixie, and a Walmart within about 7 minutes of my home. But I would rather drive all the way over to University Boulevard to Freshfield Farms.
Freshfields, baby. That's right. I've been there.
My produce and my meat, because they do have the options for wild-caught salmon.
Yeah.
food with no antibiotics and locally grown produce, and I will drive the extra mile, even though I have three big-ticket major stores near me.
Thanks for that. Thanks, Charity. Fresh Fields on University has a loyal fan base.
It always feels like going to one of those lines at Disney World. If you've been there, the aisles are fairly narrow, but everybody goes through quickly, but it feels like you're one of those winding lines at Disney World.
Yes.
You go through grabbing your produce.
Here's another tweet. Don't forget Rose. I don't get in there often, but I was amazed to see things like chayote squash in barrels going for prices I've never seen anywhere else. Okay. So with all of that said, Aaron, the big grand opening for you is next Wednesday morning, correct?
Absolutely. We're gearing up and getting ready.
Well, congratulations. And again, the Native Son in Jack's Beach is reopening next Wednesday on 3rd Street, right across the street from Metro Diner in the 1500 block. And Tim Gibbons, who has been tracking this at the Business Journal, thank you as well for being with us.
Good to be here.
Tim Gibbons and Aaron Gottlieb of Native Son, and all of your feedback. Lots of people weighing in on this one. Up next, February is Heart Month. How to be heart healthy. Some tips, and also how you can go red for women in February. We'll be right back. See all the programs, save everything, packets of tea. I've got my gigantic discotheque album, empty a bottle, I feel a bit free. Kids in the hall, pops in the wall, making noises. Hi, I'm Melissa Ross.
And I'm Tom Hudson.
Together, we host the Florida Roundup, a weekly live statewide call-in show looking at the biggest issues impacting the Sunshine State. If it's making news in Florida, you'll hear it on the Florida Roundup. So join us each Friday at noon, right here on 89.9 WJCT.
That sound means you're in the Electro Lounge, where fresh, down-tempo, chill-out and new jazz music plays Monday through Saturday nights at 9 p.m. only on 89.9 FM WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, cardiovascular disease claims the lives of 1 in 3 women in this country. Women worry a lot about breast cancer, but heart disease is the number one killer in this country. Still, 80% of these cases can be prevented through education and basic healthy lifestyle changes like eating smart, exercising, and managing your blood pressure. Dr. Mona Shaw is a cardiologist with Baptist Heart Specialists. She's here now as we mark Heart Month this February. Dr. Shaw, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being with us. Cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of women. What is the most important thing you think women need to know about heart disease?
So it's very important for women to know that, you know, 1 in 3 women are going to die from heart disease, more than all cancers combined.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a process or disease that affects older women. It can actually affect younger women. In fact, a woman who has a heart attack under the age of 50 is twice as likely to die of that heart attack compared to a man
Wow.
of the same age.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are the risk factors that we can control, and what's outside of our control?
So the risk factors, you know, that we can control, that we try to educate our patients and the community, are: know your numbers, know your blood pressure, know your weight, know your cholesterol, the good, the total, the bad. Know your blood sugar. Those are the ones that we can control. Smoking, of
mm-hmm.
course, we
don't
can control.
Smoke.
Don't smoke, right? And, you know, we can try to control stress levels as well. That's also an equivalent risk factor for coronary disease.
This is all great advice. Something else that I've learned through speaking to experts like you is that when women have a heart attack, the symptoms can be different, right? And doctors and bystanders may not even realize that she's having a heart attack.
Yes, absolutely. When we think of when someone has a heart attack, we think of clutching your chest, an elephant sitting on your chest. However, 30% of women don't have chest pain. They have fatigue. Now, how many women are fatigued?
A lot of us.
Yes, right. So, you know, shortness of breath, pain down the left arm, pain in the back. Those are all symptoms. I always just really try to tell patients, if this is something new, you know your body way more than I do. So if you notice something different, I'm more tired than I was 3-4 months ago. I have shortness of breath more than I used to. I'm having a funny pain in my back. Some patients, I saw a woman, you know, last year who had she had abdominal pain, and everyone in the ER was treating her for, you know, giving her Mylanta and Pepto-Bismol when she was having a heart attack.
Wow.
So.
And there's some, it's unconscious bias, isn't it, in the medical profession? Just people are more oriented toward the male standard of a heart issue. People think, oh, men are the ones that have heart attacks, not women. And it's just not true.
It's just not true. And in fact, you know, the studies show that women, when they go into the hospital, they're longer to get an EKG, they're longer to get treatment for their heart attack, they're longer to get their catheterization if they need one. They're even less discharged on appropriate medications than men. So they're overall not only less diagnosed, but less treated.
That's so maddening. But it's part of why we're doing this awareness push. Baptist Health and the American Heart Association have joined forces for the Go Red, Get Fit Jacksonville Challenge. Can you tell us all about this?
Yeah, so this is a challenge that to know your numbers, and it's a challenge through May where if you sign up on the website, which is www.heart.org/goredgetfitjacks, you can pick a goal. Basically, pick one goal. Sometimes people get overwhelmed. You know, drink more, sleep more, less stress, eat better. It's a lot. And then you kind of quit. So pick one goal, drink more water, get more sleep, manage your stress, cut out sugars, you know, eat better, exercise more. Just pick one thing and we'll try to support you through that.
Right. BMI, body mass index, is important. That's something I've been focused really heavily on reducing myself. Just getting your body mass index to a healthy number.
Right.
That makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. Exactly. And that's losing weight. You know, we're at the highest we've been for being overweight and obese in the history.
And that's contributing to heart disease heavily, isn't
it? Oh, extremely. Yeah, it's one of the biggest risk factors, absolutely. Not only for that, or causes diabetes too, right?
Yeah, so. I mean, the easiest thing we can all do is drop some pounds. Yeah. Easier said than done, but we all as Americans need to do it. So when people sign up online, they'll have this, it's sort of an interactive challenge that they can take part in, right?
Yes, absolutely. And they'll get support, they'll get emails, they'll get, you know, articles, they'll get different ways that they can stay on task. And I think it's really important for people to know, when you're talking about BMI and weight loss, I think when people think, oh my gosh, I have 30 pounds to lose, it just can be daunting. And so what I really try to tell people, even if you lose 5 pounds, which doesn't seem like a lot, you're already cutting down your risk. Just 5 pounds. You're going to lower your blood pressure. You're going to lower your risk of heart disease. So don't think that just a little bit is not enough.
Every little bit helps. Now, you also have some other exciting things coming up. This Friday, actually, is National Wear Red Day, and you have some free screenings too, right?
Yeah, so we're trying to encourage everyone to support women in heart disease and wear red tomorrow. And also, yes, every Tuesday there's free screenings at Y's around town. I think we've got 3 or 4 YMCAs now that offer free screenings. Just walk in and you'll get a free screening on Tuesdays.
And get to know your numbers. Do that on Tuesday. And again, to sign up for the challenge, go to heart.org/goredgetfitjacks and know your numbers. The hashtag is goredgetfitjacks on social media. You can track that too. It is Heart Month. Get to know your numbers, get heart healthy. And thank you to Dr. Mona Shaw. She's a cardiologist with Baptist Heart Specialists. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. Well, you might not have realized this, but Florida has one of the nation's highest rates of fraud. Yeah, and during this season of love, local residents need to be alert to the growing risk of romance scams. Just in time for Valentine's Day, Joe Noland with Jack's Federal Credit Union is here with some tips on how we can all protect ourselves. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So Valentine's Day is next Friday, and people get excited and feeling romantic, but this is really kind of depressing. There are these horrible romance-related scams going on, and they're costing Americans lots and lots of money. What is a romance scam?
In the most simple terms, a romance scam is this. There's some bad people out there trying to manipulate people's emotions and feelings so they can steal their money. That's the most basic concept of what a romance scam is.
How does it work? What's a typical scam we should be on the lookout for?
Well, here's the crazy part about it. It's not a highly complex or elaborate scam. It's actually quite simple. That's why you have to be so careful. It starts out just like this. A scammer creates a fake profile. They go online through social media and online dating website, and they quickly build a relationship and talk about how they've fallen in love with you and you're the answer to their dreams. And then they ask you to send them money.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it really starts going downhill.
So they'll say, oh, I need money for an operation or need money to travel, something like that.
So the most common signs when they're not only asked for the money, but then they're talking about things like an emergency. Oh, I need to travel, maybe a business opportunity, or hey, just for a temporary situation.
Okay. So anything like that, you need to be very wary of, because particularly in Florida, you say, scams and fraud are incredibly common. Identity theft is the most commonly reported crime for Florida residents. But there are lots of other ways people are trying to separate you from your money.
They are. But I want to talk about the numbers here real quick, because this is really important. So the 2019 numbers aren't out yet. But in 2018, it was reported that over $143 million were lost to romance scams. This was the highest amount of any scam reported to the FTC in 2018. This is a real problem.
Yeah, that's real money.
Real money.
And if you give your money to someone and they make off with it, you don't really have a lot of options to get it back. You don't have a lot of recourse a lot of the time.
No, you don't. And they flat out disappear. And we work with our members every day to try to help them avoid and get out, get away from these scams. But when the money's gone, you can't get it back many times.
Okay, so what advice do you have for people to protect themselves?
So first, pause, slow down, do not send the money, and do not rush. Then talk to somebody that you know and trust. These are the things that by slowing it down and letting things play out, you'll help protect yourself. Notify your bank and your credit union. And also reach out to the FTC or even the online website that you might be on.
Everyone has gotten that email from the Nigerian prince asking for money. And so people are kind of wise to that. But a lot of these fraudsters are much more sophisticated, aren't they? They build your trust over time.
They do.
And so you have to be especially vigilant, don't you?
The thing is, people think that they're, oh, I've heard about this or I know about this and they're not going to get me. But they're skilled and they are ready for you to try to circumvent that. And they'll turn it back on you and make you feel guilty for not helping them, which in turn actually makes you many times give more money.
What if you have an older relative or friend who you think is, in particular, a senior who's maybe being somewhat gullible to this? They're lonely and you suspect that they're being scammed. What can you do?
What I would say first off is talk to them and don't, ask questions and tell them to pause, but also tell them to talk to their bank, because the bank or the credit union, these are things that we see on a daily basis. So we see a lot of the clues and we can help advise them and actually help them think about questions to ask the scammer as well.
Be particularly careful with wiring money or sending gift cards, you say.
Yes.
Right?
Do not wire money. Do not send reloadable gift cards or credit cards. And do not send cash.
No matter what. Okay. And you can report suspected fraud activity, Joe says, to ftc.gov/complaint. Okay. With all of that said, you are this weekend at Jack's Federal Credit Union hosting two free events to help people avoid scams like identity theft. What's on the agenda?
So first off, we have a free shred day, and that's going to go starting at 9 a.m. until the two trucks fill up.
Have you invited Aaron Zahn of JEA? I think he might have some papers he'd like to shred. Is he on the invite list?
The event is open to anybody.
Open to anybody. Well, then he can come, right?
Yes.
A little humor there.
Yes, yes.
But I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yes, tell us more.
But yes, anybody in Northeast Florida, not just a member of our credit union, is open to them. And we are also offering a free fraud prevention seminar at the same time.
Okay, so this is all free to anyone. What kind of papers do people bring to have shredded? What do they bring to you?
I would tell you it could literally be anything. It could have the staples in it as well. But you're seeing old checks, bank statement, credit card statements, old tax returns. It could be anything.
Anything that you want shredded. A lot of people don't have a paper shredder at home. You're going to start at 9 a.m. until the trucks are full. That's going to be a lot of shredded paper waste. What do you do with it?
Well, we shred it up, and we work with a partner to shred it, and they take these, we shred them on the spot. So you actually see them shredding it with the machines right there, and they take and they dispose of them in a safe way as well.
That's kind of cool. And the fraud prevention seminar, what will people learn? Just some of the points we've been talking about today, right?
It's not just about romance. It's identity theft and protecting your documents and not sharing information, romance scams, and a number of other scams that are out there nowadays.
Okay, this is all timely information if you're just tuning in as we speak with Joe Noland of Jack's Federal Credit Union. Romance scams are particularly common heading up to Valentine's Day. Be smart. Don't fall for a scam, particularly if someone is expressing romantic interest in you and then is begging for money right away. And you can also mark your calendar for two free events this Saturday to protect yourself from identity theft. The Shred Day at Jack's Federal Credit Union, this is the first Shred Day of the year, is at their headquarters, and they kick off at 9 a.m. Right off 5 Points at 562 Park Street. They will also have a free fraud prevention seminar there, which starts at 10 a.m. You can go to their website for more at jacksfcu.org. Joe Noland of Jack's Federal Credit Union, thank you so much for being with us. Very valuable and free resource for folks this Saturday. Thanks so much for sharing it.
Thank you, Melissa.
Again, that's Saturday morning in 5 Points. And up next, we've got some other ideas for your weekend. Matt Pittman of Main Events Jax takes us all around town right after this.
The noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place for sure. Downtown. Everything's waiting for you. Downtown. Don't hang around and let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never...
Congaree N Pen is a Florida farm dedicated to agriculture and culinary endeavors. Near downtown Jacksonville, the farm invites you to explore its acres and enjoy the kitchen, tap room, and events. More info at CongareeNPen.com. The Florida Times Union, a trusted name in local news, weather, and sports for over 150 years, continue to support local journalism. Jacksonville.com for more information on digital and print subscriptions.
Next time on The World, voting by phone app. Many Americans serving abroad in the military will vote on their phones this year.
The fact is that we have overseas voters that live in places where there is not a working postal service.
But there are real concerns now about security. Voting by phone, next time on The World. Weekday afternoons at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
On the next Fresh Air, why the U.S. is likely to face further retaliation for the killing of Qasem Soleimani, we talk with New Yorker reporter Adam Entis about the new frontier in assassination. We'll also talk about his profile of Hunter Biden and how Republicans took facts out of context to support a false narrative. Join us. Today at noon on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Millions of Americans use a video app called TikTok. It's been called the last sunny place on the internet. But what's TikTok got to do with the Chinese government? And why is our government so concerned about potential national security risks? I'm Todd Zwillick, where TikTok meets NatSec. That's next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT. Around Town is brought to you by St. Augustine Distillery, handcrafted small batch spirits.
Welcome back. It's Friday Eve, and Matt Pittman of Main Events Jax has you covered. He's got to look at everything that's happening all around town this weekend. Beginning with the Rare Beer Festival up on Amelia Island. Hey, Matt.
Hi, how's it going?
Good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. We're actually going to save the Rare Beer Festival, and I'm going to kick everything off with the Donna Marathon.
Okay.
This kind of jumped out at me. I kind of missed that it was going to be this weekend. But it is, of course, the Donna Marathon in its 13th year, which is really cool. And now all focused at the beach. It's going to start in Neptune Beach, end in Atlantic as well. And kind of the beach's town center is going to be the hub for everything going on this weekend. Now, one of the big things is the expo. The expo is going to be over at the Moroccan Shrine Amphitheater. So you can head over there if you're into your running shoes or you want the latest gear. They're going to have it over there.
Yeah.
But also, this is the place for runners to go if you need to pick up your running packets. So you can head over there, and the expo is going to be open Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On Saturday, you've got the 5K, you've got the family fun run, and on Sunday is the big deal, of course, the marathon and the half marathon. Have you ever tried? Have you ever went for this?
No, I've never done a marathon. Have you?
I did the, what's cool this year, they brought back the relay. So I've done the relay, which is the easy way to go because you just grab five of your friends and you go, all right, you run three, I'm going to run five,
you run six.
Then we
and
can
it's not, you can still show up on site and register and be aware of the traffic this weekend because of the marathon too.
That's right. So the best thing you can do is go to breastcancermarathon.com. All the details are going to be there and you can still sign up, but I recommend you signing up right now. Get all the details, have fun this weekend, and if you are around the beaches, it's one of those cheering, feel-good moments.
You know
this is going for such a great cause because since its conception, they brought in millions and millions of dollars for breast cancer research. So Donna Deegan's doing her part, so you can go out there and see her this weekend and cheer them on breastcancermarathon.com.
There you go. Okay, Rare Beer Festival on Amelia Island
coming up
this weekend.
That's over at the Amelia Island Brewing Company. Now, this is going to be going on this weekend. It's going to be fun. $75 is going to get you in, and you're like, wow, $75 for a beer festival. But what's cool with this, also, you're going to be getting all the food from Amelia Island's Tavern as well. So you get some food, you're going to enjoy some beer, and you can actually just go to their Facebook page or look up Rare Beer Festival 2020 to get more details.
Speaking of drinking, the Lemon Bar opening day at the beaches is tomorrow.
It's pretty crazy that we are already, I guess I'm feeling it today. The highs are going to be in the 80s today, so you might be feeling that.
It's that harbinger of warmer weather.
There you go. And you can head over to Lemon Bar. Of course, that's right where Atlantic Beach meets Neptune Beach. It's going to kick off tomorrow at 11 a.m. But the weekend's going to be fun. Head over to Lemon Bar this weekend and have a blast.
Yeah. Okay. Now, heading back into the urban core area, there are so many music choices this weekend, Matt says, beginning with the Wailers.
That's right.
As in Bob Marley and the Wailers. Right?
Minus Bob Marley.
Minus Bob, of course, at 1904 Music Hall.
That's right. Tickets are going to cost $25, and you can go to jaxlive.com to go ahead and buy your tickets. That'll be a fun show downtown Jacksonville.
Okay, and the inaugural 2020 Jacksonville Food and Wine Festival is Sunday under the Fuller Warren Bridge. We had the Chris Thomas Band here the other day.
So good, right?
He's great. Lots of music and food and wine at this thing.
Band Be Easy is going to be performing as well, one of Jacksonville's favorites. But that's right, it's going on Sunday from noon to 8 p.m. You can go to jacksfoodandwinefest.com to get details. General admission is free, but make sure you bring some extra cash because, of course, you're going to want to enjoy some wine and food. And then $75 VIP.
And this is Sunday. The arts market is always on Saturday, but
right.
You'll come back the next day for this.
It's right under the Fuller Warren Bridge.
That's right. Now, more music to talk about in Five Points. It's the Winterland Music Festival. This is Friday through Sunday in Five Points.
This is really cool where there is live music in Jacksonville, but they don't get the push that it deserves. So Five Points has taken that over. That's, again, going on this weekend. Kicks off tomorrow through Sunday. But you can go to Root Down, Rain Dogs, Elwife, Hoptinger, all in Riverside and Historic Five Points, and have fun this weekend. Go to winterlandpresents.com to get details.
We had the organizers here on the show yesterday, and they have done such a good job with this. It's going to be a lot of fun. So check that out. And I want to make a quick plug. Full disclosure, my daughter attends Douglas Anderson School of the Arts. Friday night is Extravaganza 2020 in the Moran Theater in the Times Union Center. Art exhibition at 6:30, performance at 7:30. If you've never been to Extravaganza, you should go. You will not believe how talented these kids are.
Is she performing?
She's not, but a lot of her friends are.
I see. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, you just won't believe how talented they are, these DA kids. It's like a professional show. It's so good.
That's great.
Yeah, I always recommend that to people, too. And I always love seeing you. Matt Pittman of Main Events Jax, always good to have you on the show.
Well, I love seeing you.
Thanks for being here.
Of course.
And that is our show. Have fun whatever you get out and do this weekend. As we just learned, there are so many things going on. Enjoy yourself. And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Brady Corum is directing today. Jessica Palumbo is our station news director, and our digital editor is Bill Bortsfield. We always value your feedback, too. Keep those emails coming to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. And if you missed anything from today's show, you can catch our rebroadcast tonight at 8 o'clock. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. We'll connect with you then. Enjoy a little music. This is one of the bands, I think, that's going to be at Winterland.
Take it. We'll take it.
Yeah. Enjoy. See you tomorrow.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.